You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy. I'm a little wilted. I got to tell you guys, I you know, hadn't been out in the field for a while, been doing a lot of corporate business, but being out here has been exhilarating. I forget what it was like to get eaten up, i.e. the bugs, the chiggers, and it's starting to get hot, you know, even though it's raining now and then, and it's real weird, the weather in Mississippi, Bill. We hadn't talked about it, but all of a sudden you see this big cloud come in over you, and you think it's something out of Star Wars, one of these giant ships. You know, come in, and it's real dark, and
big old thunderhead.
The rain will come down and floods, and then 10, 15 minutes later, it's all over again, and there's the sunshine. Then later on in the afternoons, it heats up to 80 degrees, 81 degrees, and you can feel that humidity, believe me. But I miss
it. I imagine,
it's been a while, and I've got to tell you, I truly believe that the reservation is the only way to go anymore. I mean, you know, there's not limitations. You got good people to work with. And I'm talking about all of them that we've been with. The Blackfeet, the Cree, the Apache, the Navajo, the Cherokee, the Seminole, and now the Choctaw. I mean, these people are off the charts, man. I mean, come on. And I'll tell you what, when it goes reservations, the Rolls Royce of reservations is Mississippi, man, Choctaw Reservation. My God, it is incredible. The modern conveniences, you know, normally you see three-legged dogs and packs, feral dogs on the res. You always hear people talk about them, you know, abandoned cars stacked up. Not here. These people live like kings and queens. My gosh. Their neighborhoods, their homes, their... Somebody's doing something right. And by the way, the chairman, the chief out here, is a woman. Kudos.
Yeah, I've seen that. In fact, I looked that up on the webpage there. It's pretty neat.
She is really... I mean, the guy that passed that was the chief before did an awful lot for the Choctaw, but she's filled some big shoes, and I'll tell you what, this gal's doing a hell of a job. But we're going to talk about that later on in the show. We've got so much to talk about. And all this other stuff that's hitting us, my gosh. I don't think there's a day that goes by that we don't get, you know, 6-7 calls a day from, you know, on a 24-hour basis. And
yeah,
these things are moving all over, but I'll tell you what, they're moving pretty damn good on this East Coast right now. Well, everybody knows the weather's crazy. No matter where you go, everybody's talking about the same thing. We never had a winter. We went from summer to spring, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I've been saying it since October. You remember that, don't you, Bill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's all over the country. I mean, my God, we're getting calls from Illinois. We're getting calls from Wisconsin. We're getting calls from Alabama, Pennsylvania. My God, all over the place.
It's
look at where we've
really
been already this year.
But you know what? we're not going to sit here and talk about gibberish. Let's talk about the exciting things. And, oh, by the way, you know, you guys that are out there doing these reality shows, you know, get real. Get your own material instead of mooching and proselytizing off of us. You know, I'll tell you what, Bill, it's just getting stupid now. You know, I wish these guys would be original. You know, I got an email, and my computer went down. But it came from a good source, and it says, you know, there's this reality show about Bigfoot, and they should call it, not Finding Bigfoot, they should call it Bigfoot Boredom. Because the consensus of everybody now is, hey, man, either find the thing or get the hell off the air, because every episode is the same crap.
Well, the producer calls us every 2 weeks to get more info.
Isn't that so? And when they don't call us, they sit there and go through our table of contents.
They go through our webpage.
To the people. I understand this week they're up there where we were back in November and December.
Yeah.
You know, it kills me. It just, you know, why don't you just be original, you know? That's the thing that bothers me. Let's not talk about that negative crap. Let's get positive and let's get cracking the PA. Anna, you out there?
Hey, she's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, sweetheart?
I am. I'm here.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm doing okay.
Have you calmed down any?
Yeah.
I knew you would. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Anna from up in the PA region up there on the East Coast. This gal in the last couple of 3 days has run across something that's been phenomenal, been incredible. And you know what? Thank you for taking a few minutes out of your evening and sharing it with me and our team and our listeners around the globe, Anna. So you know what
You're
I'm
welcome.
Going to do for you? I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to pass the baton on to you. You're going to have the floor. I want you to tell everybody out there how this whole thing got started with you and bring them up to date, including today. You go,
okay.
Girl.
All right. Well, I was just driving to go pick up my daughter. It was about 9 p.m., and this is about, I'm thinking about 3-4 weeks ago, and because of the size of the moon compared to now. And I was looking up at the moon because it was so pretty. It was kind of a cold night, and it was a little bit cloudy. And I like the way that the winter trees look. But as I was looking at that moon, and I'm driving down this back road, all of a sudden that beauty gets interrupted by these huge two red eyes. And I'm like, whoa, what the heck is that? And, you know, I could see part of, like, the outline of its body because of the moon. And it's huge. And it's leaning on this tree. Its 2 feet are on the trunk. And it's got its right hand on up top. And the other one's just sort of hanging down. And it blinked twice as I went by it. And I kept driving, of course, because I wasn't stopping for that. No way. And I'm looking in my rear views, wondering, is that thing following me? You know, what the heck is that? And I could see it's still up in the tree, and I could still see its red eyes. It's following, you know, its eyes are following me. And I'm just like, I'm having a hard time with that. I was really, honestly, for the past, I put a lot of energy into trying to tell myself that it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. It was just too much to wrap my head around. And then, of course, Harry and the Hendersons came on TV a few nights ago. And when in that one scene where Harry, the Bigfoot, is going through the drawings that George drew, he sees one with red eyes, and he gets angry. And then all of a sudden, I remember where I saw, and I'm like, oh, that's what it was. You know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, because at first I was like, man, that's a big demon. Holy crap. You know, scared to death. But, I see that, and it just clicks, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not crazy, you know. So I start Googling this stuff, and I'm trying to, you know, wrap my head around this. Well, I decide to go back, you know. I go back the next morning, and I'm at my car on that little back road that's just like a V in the road, and I'm on the right side of the V, and I'm looking at the tree. I'm trying to identify which tree it was on, and I figured out which tree it is. And it's a, it's pretty old. It's a, what's it called? Sycamore. And, you know, I'm just looking around, and I had left Bill a message that I was going to go, like, look for fir or whatever, but I decided not to because I thought, for one thing, we've had high winds, and we've had a lot of rain, and I figured if I go down there tromping around, and they decide to come here and look at this stuff, you know, I'm going to mess up anything they could find with my footprint. So I decided, you know, I'll just look for the road. And, I didn't find anything. But while I was standing by my car, I heard these huge cracking sounds across the street. And there's a whole bunch of bamboo over there. And it was just, it was eerie. But there was, at the same time, there was a lot of high wind blowing. And there's another huge, really, really old sycamore tree. It must be going on. It's got to be from, like, Ben Franklin time. It's just giant. And I'm assuming there's some branches falling. But I don't hear them land. I just hear this huge cracking sound. And I, I'm like, whoa. I go over there, you know, slowly I go over there. And I'm looking at the bamboo, and I decide to kind of, like, go behind. Just, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm going to take a look, see if there's any branches I can see, but there's too much brush. So I go back around front, and I'm looking at this bamboo. And this bamboo is, it's probably about 30, 40 feet high. It's really tall. And I can see there's this huge area that is flattened. The bamboo, it's green, but it's broke. And it's just laying flat, and it looks like something's been laying on it. And I'm like, wow, man, you know, that's kind of freaking me out. And I walk up a bit further, and there's like three sections of this bamboo grove. That's all along the side of a road, and behind it actually is a house. But I get to this second section, and all the bamboo's upright. And I keep going up, and, you know, I don't see anything bamboo. It all looks normal. Well, I went back the next morning, which was yesterday morning, and the first section of bamboo, it doesn't look quite as flat, but it's still down. It's still flat. I go to the second section of bamboo. Now there's a new area. The bamboo's been pulled down. And, you know, I noticed that and don't see anything. And I'm still looking around, and, you know, I don't see anything. Well, I decided to go back again this morning. And I see, you know, I see the two different spots of the bamboo, but this is what where it gets really freaky. I keep going up further, and I'm looking, and I'm such an idiot. I brought some raw almonds with me thinking I'm going to feed the stupid thing, right? Yeah, no thanks. Watching too many nature shows. So I see it. It's sleeping. It's sleeping underneath some of this bamboo. I can see the fur. I know that sounds insane. That sounds crazy. But I know I saw it. You can see pieces of bamboo leaves, dried bamboo leaves, and sticks and stuff inside fur. And I've had a lot of, like, pets, you know, some with long hair, some not so long. And, you know, they come out of the woods and they're messy. But I can see the fur, and I can see the different colors in the fur. It's like 12 feet from the flipping road. And it's laying parallel to the floor, or to the road, but at a little bit of an angle. And I could make out part of an arm and part of a leg. And it's sticking underneath some of this bamboo. And then I hear this clicking sound in the background on the left. And I'm like, oh, man. And I just, you know, I just got this feeling like, okay, all right, that's enough. You know, I'm afraid. I'm like, whoa, man. I mean, you know, I didn't expect to see it. I really kind of thought that every time I showed up, I would scare them away, probably. I just assumed I would. And I wasn't expecting to see this thing at all, you know. And I called Bill over and over again. I was having an asthma attack. I couldn't breathe. I didn't bring my medicine with me. I'm supposed to have a stress echo today, which I had, but I didn't have my high blood pressure medicine, so it was not a good combination of events. But, you know, when I heard that clicking sound, I mean, I've known from watching nature shows and stuff, I've heard before that a lot of animals and even insects will make a clicking sound as a warning. So I just decided, you know, I'm going to give this thing its space. And the last thing I need is a real, if I really saw one face-to-face, I know I'd have a heart attack. That'd be that to me. So I was like, okay, that's enough. But it's been quite a few days. I could barely even sleep. It's just driving me crazy, you know. So I'm really hoping somebody comes out here because I want to show them this stuff, you know. And I really want to get one of those cameras, so it's infrared, and we'll strap it to something so I can get some footage. And I was thinking about going back there tonight, but I'm too tired, and my daughter is scared. And I don't even know if it's a good idea to go back there at nighttime. But especially alone, I have no idea. It wouldn't matter, no matter how many people you had or guns or anything, because the thing was huge.
You know, but, I got to tell you something, Anna.
Yeah.
Kudos to you, young lady, because a lot of people, and I'm finding it out more and more, especially in this last couple of weeks, while as I've been back in the field, people that have been seeing this creature are deathly afraid.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And I can just picture, you know, I've been doing it for so damn long. We talked about that, my guys and myself today, that, you know, tie me to a tree. Leave me out there. Use me as the bait. Because I've come to that point in time. We are in another area which we're getting very close right now. And it's kind of similar to what you're going through right now. And I've got one of my guys coming up to see you, like I told you on the phone earlier this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss that off the air.
Okay.
And all I ask is you keep it confidential. And
okay.
Don't talk to nobody until my boys get there. Because we're out on something right now that's very, very hot also.
Okay.
Which I'm going to be talking about at the end of the show. But you know what? You're a very brave woman.
Thank
and I
you.
Know that what you've gone through and the stuff that's going through your head, it'll bother you. Let me tell you.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah,
it'll bother you.
Yeah, it does.
And but you know what? You're going to get through it.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah,
when one or two of my guys get up there, they'll explain everything to you, what's going on.
And I'll help.
I had a chance to talk to you earlier today. Not as long as we're having to chat tonight. But I've been so busy. It's been crazy for me, too. One of our people, believe it or not, new people that we just met, is going crazy right now due to the fact that they had multiple sightings, and it's affecting them. Where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And when we found what we found and they saw what's going on, it affected them mentally. And I can't blame
them.
I can't blame them.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. I have school. I'm in school. I'm having a hard time concentrating, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I also heard, I forgot to tell you this, I also heard that howl that they talk about. It was nighttime. That was within the last week.
Okay. Did you record it at all? Do you have a recorder?
No, I was actually, my radio was on. I turned my radio off, and that's when I heard it. And I was like, wow. And there was a second one.
Yeah.
You know, and I was on the same road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, yeah. Well, listen. Just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot of the show here, and something caring. It maybe give you some consolation.
Yeah. How do I mute? Star six or?
Well, X the brain there.
I do that. I do that for you.
Okay.
Listen. God bless you. Welcome to the world of Sasquatch, and one of us will be seeing you real soon here. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You're a brave woman.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our newfound friend, Anna, on the East Coast. Bill, let's go to a commercial.
Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And Tom, it's back to you.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. I hear these little ditties and these trailers, like on the first one, A Bigfoot Lives, and now Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax. I get an email today, and they said, "Hey, Tom, you might as well take a look at this." And I looked at it. And he said, it's from the boys from Georgia. They're starting in again. Well, somebody is living in Georgia, has our movies, and they got them on sale for $999. You know? Now, I'm putting a plea out to our friends, our relatives, our guests, our newfound friends around the globe. Don't fall for this. You can go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. You can go to amazon.com and look under Bigfoot, see all of our movies, at least three of them, and you can get them for $19.95. Don't fall for that crap that you're going to spend $1,000, okay, just because it was owned by one of these goofballs. You know what? You don't wash your hands of that crap and get something that's new and get it from the originators. That's us. We're the ones that put this whole thing together when it comes to our series of Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, 3, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, In the Shadow of Bigfoot, and then our blockbuster, which is going to be coming out, Hoax of the Century. So don't fall for that crap. We all fell for that crap back in 2008. And, you know, there's that old saying, that old adage, ladies and gentlemen, it goes around and comes around. Don't forget it. Well, let's see. Is Kevin with us, Bill?
No, Kevin's not with us. Let's go to Trey, and then we'll go to Bruce.
Okay, well, let's go out and talk to Trey out there in Illinois. Trey, you with us?
Oh, he's in Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I probably made a mistake. Kevin was in Illinois. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, Trey, you out there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello, Trey.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, good. I'm doing well. I remember talking to you briefly. I forget the day because I was somewhere and I don't remember it. But nevertheless, why don't you brief us and my audience out there on exactly what happened to you?
Okay, it's Friday afternoon, leaving, going toward the city of Milwaukee. I would say about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, quite kind of sunny. They kind of, you know that day. You know, kind of warm outside. You know, for me, I was like, you know, I'm from the south, so you know, I had a little t-shirt on. You know, window kind of down. You know, kind of feeling the day. So you know, we riding. My kids in the back. My girl, you know, she's on the phone, you know, doing women do. You know, I'm paying attention to the fields, you know, from my left to my right, you know, that's how I like driving, you know, seeing if I see some deers on the outside or something like that. And to the left, I see some in the field. You know, people have something like planted, you know, I don't know what they're growing, but I'm looking at that. I thought it was a tree stump or something at first. But it was kind of red, you know, like a brown or something like that. Had like a patch on the back. And I'm like, nah, that's not a stump. And I thought it was a big turkey or something, cause it was kind of bent over. And as I'm looking at it, as I'm driving, it stood up and started walking. And it was, I looked for clothing and all that. It was nothing. It was brown all over. And a few steps, and then it was to the woods. And, you know, before my eyes can reach to my mouth and say, hey, y'all look at this right here. You know, we'd already passed it already. And I'm still trying to rush to my head right now, like, what did I really see? And I know I didn't see a bear. I know I didn't see anything else out here in Wisconsin because, you know, there's no red or brown bears out this kind of way. And I seen it. It started walking. Stood up. You know, whatever it was doing, it was eating something from the field. You know, I guess picking the vegetation from the field or whatever. And turn around, start walking. And
wow.
It'd be like about a good, I probably saw about a good 30 to 45 seconds.
Let me
as
ask
was
you
driving.
What went through your head when you got back home?
I'm still trying to, you know, I've been asking everybody, you know, like, hey, man, you know, am I seeing something, you know, am I crazy? You know, my girl, like, no, I know you're not crazy. My kids at the same thing, oh, Dad, I know you're not crazy. But you explained exactly how you're seeing what you're seeing. And, you know, I'm still trying to tell myself, you know, exactly what I seen, you know, if I seen it. But, you know, I know what I seen. And I was looking for a hat or something on somebody's head or something. I didn't see none of that. No facial features or nothing. And I'm still trying to think about, you know, what exactly did I see? Wasn't a man too big to be a man.
Pretty incredible stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty incredible stuff. Well, you know, I'll tell you this. It's people like you, Trey. People like Anna. People like all the people we have on our shows each and every week that come forth and tell us their stories. We wouldn't know about it if you didn't have brave people like yourselves to come forth and tell it like it is. You know, we're probably the only show out there, and we have been. We're going on what now, Bill, 6 years on our show?
Yeah, we're going 6 years, yeah.
6 years, Trey.
Yeah, I got one more thing. And, you know, let everybody know, you know, this is here, you know, is like really out of my character, you feel me? And, you know, yeah. A guy like me, you know, I'm from, you know, from the city, you feel me? You know, raised in the city, but, you know, from the South originally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things like this is kind of out of my character, but I felt like, it should be, you know, out of mankind nature, you know, for me to call in and really say something about it because, you know, I was kind of, you know, really fooled in my own head, like, man, you know, there's got to be other people out there like me who know what they've seen, you know, and don't seem like I'm kind of crazy on the other end. You feel me? So, you know, that's why I really came forward to say something.
Well, you know what, Trey? You're not crazy because we wouldn't be talking right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that, but, you know.
At least you're trying to find out. You're seeking for that knowledge, and you've come to the right people, and I thank you for that. You know what you need to do now is just keep your eyes and ears locked in as you travel those roads, and anything else you see, don't be afraid to give us a call. We may be coming out to visit you, too.
All right. You got my number.
Okay. Listen, God bless, and just mute yourself out. We've got a whole lot more show here ahead of us, Trey. Again, welcome to the world of Sasquatch.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Trey from Wisconsin. We're hearing these stories every day, ladies and gentlemen. It don't stop. I've told you all this is the migrational route now. And these poor creatures, their biological clock, their clocks, their inner clocks, are not ticking the right way. They don't know if it's winter, summer, fall, spring. My God, it was just snowing last week in Montana. Talking about Montana, we need to get out there and see my brother Bruce Schilt up in Browning. Bruce, you out there?
Oh, hi. Hello, I'm here.
Did I catch you sleeping?
No, I didn't know who you were talking to.
Well, I was talking about a guy named Bruce from Montana.
Yeah.
A guy named Bruce from Browning. Is that you?
That's me.
How are you, brother?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Well, I've been beat up again. You know, I'm between the chiggers and the mosquitoes, and you know, but it's my life. It's inevitable. You know, I'm out there just like everybody else who's sincerely out there looking and trying to find this damn creature. And we're getting close. Like were you listening since the beginning?
Yeah, I was.
I got to tell you something, my brother. This reservation, the Choctaw Reservation, these people are incredible. I'm telling you, out of all the reservations I've been to, Bruce, this has to be the Rolls Royce of reservations. These people, every house that we've seen, they're gorgeous. Okay, well manicured. The facilities on the reservation are top notch. You know, we got caught up in that damn tornado. We were either in its wake or it just was going to hit before we got there. And there was debris in the road and something hit one of the wheel well trailer on the outside. Well, we didn't notice till we got to the res, and I'll be damned if the DOT, the Choctaw Transit people, was there, come on over and we'll help you. We'll then take it off, bend it back out, secure it so you don't get into a wreck. I mean, where do you see stuff like this? I mean, these guys were just top draw, and they've been that way all along. And I got to tell you, Bruce, I'm just shocked to see how they live. You don't see three-legged dogs. You don't see cars all stacked up. I mean, this is the Beverly Hills of the reservations, believe me.
Oh,
and I'm not putting the rest of the reservations down. It's just something that I've never seen before. And my gosh, I was shocked. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't, Tom.
Pretty incredible stuff. I hope that someday I can have my own plane or something come and get you and bring you down there and introduce you to some of these fine people here. Tell me what's been going on up there by you. I heard it just snowed again last week.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow again, but I think tomorrow but it was about 60 above today, so it was nice, real warm. But about 3 weeks ago, we had some heavy fog, and on the outside at Browning there, a little place called Last Star, I heard the cops were chasing a Bigfoot around over there. And you know where you stayed at the Circle R up in East Glacier there?
Yeah.
Well, just down the road about a mile from there, the guy that I'm working with, he has a picture of a Bigfoot track on his phone. I saw it, and it's amazing. It's just a little ways from where you guys were staying.
Wow. Well, you know, I got to tell you, my brother, right now is the time that these things are roving all over the place. And I don't know if they've found... Well, do you find the weather a little bit different than usual?
Well, yeah. It's just up and down, you know, but we got a lot of snow in the mountains yet, and we did go out Saturday, but we didn't go toward the mountain. We went away from it so we could four-wheel, you know, but we never found anything, and the snow is a little bit too deep to go up to the mountain yet.
When did the people start going out looking for the antlers?
Oh, in the spring. Anytime they can get out, you know.
Bruce, can you get closer to that mic? I can't hear you.
Just as soon as they can, you know, on a nice day.
Yeah, but you said spring. Now, we're supposed to be in spring as of the 22nd of last month. And as far as I'm concerned, this ain't no spring. Something's not right up there by you.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't know, Tom. It's just like you've been saying, you know, it's crazy weather. We should be having spring, but the gophers aren't out, and there's no flowers out, and the birds have come back, but, you know, they're very few.
Kind of wild, isn't it? So the cops are out chasing Bigfoot in East Glacier, huh?
Not in East Glacier, in Browning, on the north side of Browning. That's the word, and the cops are, you know, they don't like to divulge anything like that, so. But that was the word.
So did anybody get close? Anybody have a sighting?
Not that I heard of. Just a track.
Yeah. Well. Okay, well listen, what you need to do is keep us apprised of what's going on up there like you always do, and I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and,
I will.
You're going to hear about what happened to us up here at the here in Mississippi. Some fascinating stuff.
I bet.
Okay, so just mute yourself out. Say hello to the family. How are the DVDs selling?
Oh, they're selling.
Good.
A lot of interested parties, but you know how it is. They ain't got no money when you got a DVD, you know.
Well, yeah. What happens is you got to wait till Mother's Day, and that's the 1st and the 15th.
Still working on it.
Is that when the checks come in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Bruce, say hello to everybody up there for us, and you know we'll be coming out there too. Just okay. Mute yourself out. We got a lot more full of show here ready for everybody.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks for sharing with us. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Bless.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Oh.
sounded like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot Lives, a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom, is back to you.
Thanks, Bill. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the movie that started it all for us. Our first award-winning best documentary, best director, Bigfoot Lives. Every time I hear that little ditty, it just makes me like I was there. I just get flashbacks of every one of those people. Bob Hallmark, Hans Mobius, Bob up there in Minnesota. Just amazing. Like I was just there yesterday. And who would have known? Going on 8 years, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I wanted to say hello to our good friend up there in Billy. Up in Connecticut. He's been calling us and keeping everybody apprised. We were in that, the Neshoba Democrat on the Choctaw Reservation. We're on the radio show. We're on WTOK on the TV station. We've done so much in 1 week's time, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you, we've been beat up a little bit, but we're going to talk about that now. There's a reason for it. And things are hot and heavy out where we're at. Without any further ado, is Theron on?
Theron is here.
Yeah, I'm right here. Hey there, Tom. How you doing?
I'm tired, buddy. I'm tired. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy that brought us out to Mississippi. Not the first time, but the second time. But it was all because of him. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have been here. And I got to tell you, with all the people we've met, my God, all the sightings that have been gone on, including police officers, two that we know of, one who was in his own house and his brother and father, and all of a sudden this creature puts its arm and hand on the window where they lived to see who was on the inside. Remember that, Theron?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Are you glad that we've been out here doing what we've done?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I wouldn't have called you, but I didn't think there was somebody or something here. But, Tom, let me tell you right now, there's a lady just come just before you interviewed me in this radio program, and she's standing right here, and she told me, she's telling me that a creature ran across the road between the casino and the pawn shop that you guys were in that one day in broad daylight.
My God. How long ago?
Ran across the road.
Does she want to talk to us?
Sure, she's standing right here.
What's her name?
Her name is Betty.
Betty?
Yeah, hold on.
Put Betty on.
Yeah, Betty. Okay, hold on. I'm going to give her the phone.
Hello?
Hi, Betty.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Listen, when did this happen, dear?
This was maybe, I want to say a month or maybe a month and a half ago.
Okay. So it was coming up there on 16, right between the pawn shop and the casino.
Well, actually, where I saw it was between, you know where the parking space is, that big parking lot at Golden Moon and then that pawn shop?
Sure.
There's a little patch of trees there.
Mm-hmm.
And it had run from that, I was heading towards Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Away from the casino. And I just saw it just like ran out across the road, but it was like, it was quick. And it was almost like, I had to question, did I just see something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I know I saw it, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And it kind of reminded me, the size of it, of what I saw, and this what I'm fixing to tell you is no comparison. But years ago, I had saw a hyena in the middle of the road. And it moved fast, okay? The hyena moved fast. And I was like, well, we don't have hyenas here. So I couldn't explain in my mind, you know, was it or was it not? Maybe it was a dog, you know. But my kids were in the car with me when I saw this. And I said, did y'all just see that? And they said, what? And I said, something just ran across the road in front of us. But it was, like, fast. And then I kept looking and looked to the parking lot there to see if I could see it again, and it was like gone. It was like a flash, like a blink of the eye. I saw it, and it just flew across, not, you know, it was like, I don't know if it was running, but I just seen it, and it was like black because my kids were asking me, what did it look like? And I said, well, it looked big and black and... And my son was trying to make jokes, and he said, well, maybe it was a black person. And I said, oh. And I got on to him about it. I said, no, it was like kind of like a gorilla, but I didn't know how to explain. It wasn't a gorilla, but it kind of, that was the best way that I could describe the form that I saw. And
you know, Betty, I'm going to tell
you. Jim Dawson.
I'm going to tell you this right straight up now, Betty.
Okay.
Within that 3-mile radius from where you're talking about, where the pawn shop is there on 16, going straight up past the Sawmill Cafe, 3-mile radius, a lot of action has been going on. A lot of action has been going on. And I got to tell you something, you're exactly right. It's a big old boy, and it's not just one. There's a family pod going on. And that's what we're going to talk about right now, because Mr. Jim Dawson just chimed in. And just stay fast there, Betty, you and Theron. We're going to get Jim on right now, and he's going to tell his story, how we first came out here and how we went into that area that Theron had told us about and what we saw. So you're going to get to hear it firsthand, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to the world of Sasquatch, honey. Okay. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Tired, but that's all right. That comes with the job, as you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Get up, you know, between the mosquitoes and the chiggers. You know, they just love me. I noticed that you just came on. You haven't heard any of the stories here tonight. They've been fast, furious, and some great ones, by the way.
Wow.
Including Anna from the East Coast, which we'll talk about after the show, you and I.
Okay.
I want everybody to know and tell them from the beginning to the end that before you departed, tell them exactly what we did out there in that little region and why we decided to go out there in your own words and tell them what you saw. You got the floor.
Well, we had been directed out there by out into that area by someone who had seen a creature carrying a deer over its shoulder in that area on that particular road. So Bill Coffey, you and I went out and explored that area, and I went through some pretty thick brush and found a couple of screened areas where the creature had been bedding down, and I thought they were good areas. You had walked down the draw, and I had came down the draw beside you. We were no more than 75, 100 yards off the road at the most. I don't think we were that far off the road. And you said, Jim, go up in that area up on that hill there. And I was trying to get you to come back up and look at what I'd seen. And you said, go and see what's up there. And I walked up the hill, and I could not believe the lair that was there. The creature had taken green pine limbs.
Wait. I want you to tell it exactly like you told it. Ladies and gentlemen, this was his words. Wow. Tom, you better get up here and look what I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah.
That was his exact words, ladies and gentlemen. Now go ahead and say it.
I look back on it and I said, get up there now, as if it was going to go away. But no, really, I said, get up here. And I was really excited, but the creature had taken green pine limbs and busted them up and threw pine fronds down on the ground. And it was apparently that's where it was sleeping, and it made a screen out of more green pine intertwined with hardwoods. And then as I walked around the side up the hill around it, I saw a rounded observation area that it actually built out of dragging other trees up there, where it could see the whole little valley there below it and a tree that could skinny up and look up and climb up in the tree and look out. It was just amazing. I mean, you see that on the internet from time to time, or pictures of lairs, or you see, someone may have one somewhere and you think, yeah, well, that's one. But when you walk up one and you actually up on one like that and you actually see it, it really took me a day to even take it all in. It was amazing. And then after we found it, we baited it up, and put our trail cams up, and some fantastic things happened. Tom, I don't know if you shared with the listeners, what happened in that arena. I don't know if you shared.
I haven't said nothing yet, but here's what I want. I want you to give them a blow-by-blow on how we baited, how I taught you how to bait, how I taught Bill how to bait. And the reason being is because this is what I was taught, ladies and gentlemen, and the bait that I use, and what we put up in that on the same tree with the trail trip cameras. Tell everybody what we put up there.
Okay, well, I don't want to divulge proprietary information, but we actually take a knife or a hatchet or an axe, and we knock back the bark and make a little section that we can put sardines in. We open a can of sardines and notch in on the wood, on the hardwood or the pine, and put the sardines in there like a little clip, and then run the juice down the tree, and then we use chunky peanut butter, and we take out a hunting knife, and we just smear peanut butter up and down the tree 5 to 8 feet up as far as we can reach, up and down the tree, and then set the trail cams up, and then cover our scent when we leave with deer urine or some kind of scent cover to get all the human smell out of there. The next day, when we went back out to the site after we baited the first night, two of the three trees were completely licked clean. There was no peanut butter whatsoever on two of the three trees, and two-thirds of the peanut butter was gone from the third tree. All of the sardines were gone, and even the sardine cans were licked clean. Everything
was
licked clean.
Remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen, what he's told you.
And Tom made the comment, in 42 years, he's never had a tree licked clean.
Exactly.
There were no traces of peanut butter whatsoever. I mean, you couldn't even see it between the, it was on pine trees. You couldn't even see it between the chunks of bark.
Well,
it was
ladies
gone.
And gentlemen, I got to tell you something also. Bill Coffey says, my God, he says, it looks like somebody came in here and power washed those trees clean.
It was amazing.
Okay.
Now, here's the beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. The next day, we go out and do the same thing, but put it a little bit different, by a different camera, and we do it on another spot also. So we're thinking, okay, well, if it's a squirrel, if it's a possum, if it's a raccoon, if it's deer licking this stuff off, well, if they're doing it here, they'll do it somewhere else too, right? Wrong. We went to another portal. We lathered that tree up. We put the sardines up. We put the trail trip camera up. We not did it. They had a portal. Now we came back up there and put it in two other places, and Jim says, let's try one of them right in that tree inside the lair, in which we had the camera across from it. Well, we did it, ladies and gentlemen. We go out and check that other portal. Flies going around it. No, not one lick. Sardines still there. Peanut butter still there. No images on the trail cam. Well, we found, and this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, was what do you say the distance between the two were, Jim?
Oh, maybe a quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile, all right? Now, these things got keen smelling, keen sight. Nothing was touched, ladies and gentlemen. We go back to the area with the lair. My God. Power wash number two. And hey, I'm talking about this guy here lathered those trees from 3 feet to 9 feet because we measured it. And I'm talking all around.
I put it all as far as I could reach with a big hunting knife and got up on a little slog. I put as much as I could get on it. I put a whole can of peanut butter on it.
He did. And the sardines, everything wiped clean. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? With the new camcorder, we got ourselves something. And it's a big old boy. And that's all I'm going to let you know about right at this point in time. I'm just going to tell you right now that our newfound family, our newfound friends in Mississippi are there and supporting us, not 100%, but 150%. Call me after the show, Jim.
Okay.
Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. I hope you're doing well. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together, reason for the facts.